On this episode of the Restore It All podcast, we've got a fan of the pod whose job it is to divine business and technical requirements out of the customer. We thought it was a perfect follow-on to the episode with Jeff on how to divine business requirements and technical requirements out of your company. Hope you enjoy the pod. You could restore it. Hi, and welcome to Backup Central's Restore It All podcast. I'm your host, W. Curtis Preston, a.k.a. Mr. Backup, and I have with me my vicarious thin set removal consultant, Prasanna Molly Andy. How's it going, Prasanna?
I'm good, Curtis, and I think you had a really, really great weekend, right?
I did.
Between you know, the Padres?
Yeah, baby! Padres! Between the Padres and the thin set removal, it was definitely a big weekend for the Preston household. The Padres, by the way, that game, according to, you know, those guys that talk constantly during the thing and they pull out the stats, that game is the second biggest upset in the history of Major League Baseball. If you look at the number of games that LA has won this season and the number of games the Padres have won this season and the fact that they beat them, it's the second largest spread. The first one is it's a distant second, because the first one, the winning team won 128 games, and like that's also the highest record of the number of games won in a season. Anyway, that was, and what's funny is I'm not even that big of a sports fan.
I was actually surprised, right? You were watching.
but you know, when the hometown team is playing and they're in the playoffs, you know, even when they were in the wild card, I was watching, and that was great to see them, you know, win that. And then to see them beat the Dodgers, to see them beat the Dodgers on the road first and then come home to win twice, it's a big week to be San Diego. They're apparently like, they're not even waiting for the World Series. They're painting the town like yellow and brown right now, which are, for the record, the worst colors for any major league team of any kind, I think.
Probably,
I don't know, yes. maybe the Cleveland Browns, because they're just brown.
You know, when you said yellow and brown, you know, the first thing I was thinking, like, pee and poop.
I know, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of yellow and brown. I mean, the Dodgers, they have this beautiful blue and white, you know, we get yellow and brown. What the hell's up with that? Anyway, and then the thin set, the removal of, you know, for those of you following at home, how I've been laying down luxury vinyl tile. This was when I removed, this is way past the point of no return. I have now removed all of the tile and the pergo that was in the dining room. And now I had somebody come in and chisel down the thin set. And then I did some scraping after that. So now it's just really dirty. It's like dusty and dirty. Other than that, it's ready to, and I got like air cleaners running around the clock.
Yeah. You do not want to be breathing that stuff in.
Yeah. Yeah. So
then it'll be done next week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it only takes like an hour to lay roughly 500 square feet of vinyl tile. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Vinyl planking. Sorry. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Before we bring our guest on, I'm going to do the disclaimer. Prasanna and I work for different companies. He works for Zoom. I work for Druva. This is not an official podcast of either company. And the opinions that you hear are all Prasanna's. And if you like what you hear or see, by the way, check out, we've got a video version of this podcast at backupcentral.com. Be sure to check that out. It, you know, if you're a video person,
and check out Santa's beard.
Santa's beard. And then we say, you know, if you want to join the podcast, if you want to join the conversation, just reach out to me at WC Preston on Twitter or W Curtis Preston at Gmail. And someone did that. They were a fan of, we have a, We have a fan. It's one of, you know, there's another podcast. The phrase they use is, you know, we have one of our 11 listeners. There's a podcast that I listen to that does that. So we have one of our 11 listeners on today. Our guest today has over 25 years experience in IT, a lot of it in the storage space. He's currently the enterprise architect for Presidio, an IT reseller and consulting company. You can hear him on their podcast called Digital Decode. Welcome to the podcast, Eric Bursley.
All right. Thank you. And
big,
thank you for
big
being
build
on the
up company. There.
Yes. Very big build up. Probably the
you know,
biggest
we don't,
one
we,
I've
we,
ever
we've
seen.
Only had like, I don't know, three or four people that in the history, you know, we're coming up on 200 episodes. And I think we've had like three or four people out of that have reached out to us. It's just like randomly, hey, I'm a fan of the pod and, you know, I'd like to come on.
We need more people like that.
We need more like that, you know? So if you're sitting out there, you know, I think the biggest thing, I think people are like, oh, well, my story won't be as interesting or whatever. You know what? If it's got anything to do with backup, we're kind of desperate, you know? I mean, this is a niche, right? If we can somehow relate it to backup, data protection, information security is very closely related to backup these days. We should just convert this to a, you know, a ransomware podcast, because that's all anybody wants to hear.
Exactly. Actually, what drew me to your podcast the first time I listened to it was your theme song.
Ah,
hey.
I thought it was great.
So
there you go,
that
Curtis.
Theme song. So an interesting story about that theme song. The theme song predates the podcast. The podcast got its name from the theme song. The singer is my daughter. I wrote the lyrics. There's actually a video. I don't know if you've seen the video. There's actually a full video in which I play a cameo role. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's on YouTube, and you know, you can see me dancing in the ocean at one point.
It is a dated video.
Yeah, it's dated. You know, I have slightly more hair and slightly less gray. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And yeah, that's my daughter. And she has three backup singers that are also her. It's kind of funny. We had her on the podcast. I should put a link to that. We had her on the podcast to talk about it. And she created three backup singers, and she gave each of them in her mind a name and a personality. And then she sang like that personality. She was really all into it. She's a great singer. She actually, she right now gets paid as a cantor for a Catholic church. You know, she's technically a professional singer. She gets paid a couple hundred bucks a week to sing for a church in Carlsbad. Go San Diego, go Padres. Anyway, so I'm glad that was actually where
first.
We got our
name.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah. So now we'll give you a link to the video so you can see the full thing. There's actually like, I have like seven or eight,
yeah.
Parodies that I did.
Oh,
I did that one. Help me, persona. We did the one about virtualization, Macklemore. I'm gonna pop someday. It's only got 20. So mine was, I'm gonna build VMs. Got at least 20 guests in my server. I'm a virtual, getting rid of servers. VMs are so awesome. There you go. So we did that one. Anyway, nobody wants to hear about this. Let's move on. Let's talk about stuff. How's it going over there?
It's Aaron? Going well. It's going well.
How's it going at Presidio? Why don't you give me an overview of what you do as a company, and then how do you fit into that?
So Presidio is a solutions provider for IT, and we have various capabilities within the industry, from hybrid cloud to public cloud, private cloud, communications such as unified communications, managed services, you know, a lot of different silos within IT. I like to think of us as more than a value-added reseller, because we not only sell value with the traditional OEM, such as Dell, Cisco, and HP, but we can also provide true consulting and management services as well across various things. So lots and lots of capabilities within Presidio itself.
Yeah, I would like to think that every VAR should be like that, but clearly every VAR is not like that, right? I think they start often, having dealt with a number of VARs over my years, I think they often start with, what are the three things we sell? And then how do we shoehorn the three things that we sell into whatever customer comes up? I think the biggest challenge, I think, for a VAR of any kind is, okay, so we have to back up. Have you seen the Miracle on 34th Street?
A while ago, yes.
Classic. Okay, hopefully the original, because the others just stunk. Anyway, there's the thing in there where Santa sends somebody, a little girl asks for something, and he's like, they actually have, it's set at Macy's, and Santa says, Gimbel's actually has a much better ABC than we do. You should go to Gimbel's, and then they were not very happy with that. I think that's the biggest challenge, is somebody comes in and says, they articulate to you their requirements, and then their requirements don't match well to a product that you have.
Right, exactly. And I see that a lot in my industry, where one of our sales leads is tightly coupled with an OEM and wants to sell that particular solution, whatever it is. And it's like always putting in that square peg into a round hole. Sometimes it will fit, and I've seen it fit. Other times it's not a perfect match, because they're not double checking and triple checking what the actual business requirements were. Talking with the C-levels about what are they trying to achieve in the next year to 18 months to 5-year business plan, and understanding the direction that they want to go. One of the primary examples I've heard recently is, we want to move to an operational expense structure, therefore we need to move to a public cloud. And that is not always the case in terms of the business objective. It could be that they want to change the way their business costs are structured, rather than a capital expense move into an operational expense, but leaving some of their applications on site. And Presidio can actually help with that, because we can operationalize what would traditionally be a capital expense, put it into an operational expense, regardless of the vendor that's involved.
Yeah. Okay. One of the challenges with us as, techies, is we get interested in a particular technology. We see something, we see a webinar, we see a, whatever. I'll give you a perfect example. And I'll use a product category that isn't as big as it used to be. If we go back to sort of the turn of the century, there was a backup type that was everywhere, and that was CDP, right? Continuous Data Protection. If you went to storage networking world, shout out to Nessa W, haven't seen you in a long time. Storage networking world, there'd be like 10 CDP booths, right? And CDP as a technology sounds amazing. There are CDP companies that are out, that are here now, and I hope they're doing great. The problem was that there were like 3 companies that had business requirements that mapped to CDP, right? And so you had like a dozen companies that were selling CDP solutions, and it was the classic thing of a problem waiting for, or a product waiting for a problem. And the problem is, as techies, we're like, that sounds amazing. I can get a zero, an RTO and an RPO of zero. That sounds amazing. where do I sign? But if we don't have a business requirement that goes with that, it might seem wrong. Say, oh, but that would be the best, right? We want the best backup system for the company. No, you want the best backup system that meets your requirements, and spending beyond that is a waste of money, right? It's a bit like,
do you want a Bugatti to drive on the?
That's exactly school, where I was streets. Going, right? Yeah. My only job is to drive my granddaughter to school, and so I'm going to buy a Bugatti, right? It would be cool, but I'd be the coolest, grandpa pulling up into the thing with my Bugatti. I was going to go Lamborghini, by the way.
But nah,
whatever. For the record, one podcast has actually driven a Lamborghini once.
Yeah. Okay, you win.
Once. And by the way, it was only from the showroom floor back to the dealership. And it was like, keep it under 45, Curtis. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, I think as technologists, we get excited in a particular technology. Another thing that happens as technologists and in the backup space, we get angry at our current backup product, right? We have challenges with our current backup product, and we think what's our immediate idea? Our immediate idea is to replace the backup product, right? I did 20 plus years of IT consulting, and the answer to the problem was almost never replace the backup product, right? It was, you're using it wrong, right? The problem was not software. The problem was not hardware. The problem was wetware, right? it was the whole, like the streaming problem, how to get the tape stripped. That was the problem 90% of the time. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. But that's the problem, is we're techie people. We see a technical problem, we want to solve it with a technical solution, right? Or we see a cool technical thing and we want to just bring it into the environment. But we have to go back. If we're going to spend money, we have to go back to the business. I'm sorry for that really long rant, but it just, I
felt, right. I don't know. Yeah.
It wasn't a question, Eric. So good luck answering.
Actually, one of the struggles that I have, almost on a weekly basis, is, the account manager coming in saying, we're going to put vendor X into this customer without aligning those business objectives. They could be perfectly fine with it, but like in the backup products, they're wanting the new HTML5 interface. They gotta have that new HTML5 interface, or they need to have ransomware protection built in, not realizing that there's more to ransomware protection than just what's in the backup product.
Right.
That's like I have in my ransomware workshop that I provide to our customers. Ransomware protection is kind of like an onion. It's a multi-layered approach. And much like an ogre, it gets ugly and green.
Yeah. And it's like an onion that the more you look at, the more you dig into it, the more you cry. Right.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it surprises me the number of times they come in, and the customer could be a very happy customer of Veeam.
Right.
But they want to put in the new hyper-converged backup solution because it has an HTML5 interface, and that's what they're selling it on. Mm. So,
which doesn't quite
align. It's a really pretty interface.
Well, I think one of the challenges there too is if you don't go to the back to the business and have those conversations, then even if you do push out this new hyperconverged solution, right, the business may not be happy with it, and that's going to look bad to you who had recommended picking a certain technology, right? They're like, oh, right, we just gave you a bunch of money, and what did it really do for us? Not much, and it caused all these problems, or it had all these gaps, etc., right? So.
Exactly. Or they complain about the performance of their backup solution when they bought a brand new production array, new production servers and reestablish those older servers as their backup servers because they want more longevity out of it, and then complain about the performance.
Does performance matter?
Only on resource.
That is very, very true. You know, and to go back, you know, and that really is the only thing that matters, right? I often say on the podcast, right? No one cares if you can back up. They only care if you can restore. And the challenge we had back in the day was the only solution to the tape problem that any of the backup vendors had, for the most part, was multiplexing, right? To interleave multiple backup jobs together into one faster backup job that would hopefully make the tape drive happy and allow it to stream and not be shoe shining all the time. And the problem with that is that it totally screwed over restores, right? You had to read the 20 different backup jobs and throw away 19 of them for the one that you needed, which meant your restore performance was crap, right? That's the one thing I do not miss from the backup days. But let's talk about how do we get, what's it like? I'm sure you've had some conversations where in your head, what you're trying to get to is an RTO and an RPO, you know, but as you said, that's too deep for many of the conversations that you're having. What questions are you asking to get to that question?
So I ask more open-ended questions, and the more the business leader talks, the more information I get. So I will ask a question like, you know, what would happen if Cerner disappeared? You know, what would you do? And that gets into their business continuity plan. Mm-hmm. What do they do? Doctors and nurses that use the Cerner application, they could go back to pen and paper. That is a legitimate, you know, business continuity plan. It's not a long-term plan. So what's the next phase on the recovery process? And that gets into the disaster recovery portion of the business continuity plan. How long can they function on pen and paper? Okay. If they can continue to function for another hour or two, that helps me to develop those service level objectives around, do we need to create the application more highly available with no single points of failures? With a potential zero RTO RPO, which I have created and can create, but you still have to have multiple recovery points because in a ransomware attack, for example, both copies of your data set are now corrupted. So you still have to be able to recover back in time. So I get into those discussions at a higher level as well. What exactly does that mean? What would happen if they lost 5 minutes of patient records? Well, many times it's like, well, 5 minutes, that could be life or death, depending on the situation. It may not be because they could roll back to the pen and paper. The doctor will remember what he wrote.
That's interesting. I immediately started thinking about, so currently I'm a poll worker, right? For the upcoming election. I have been for like the last four elections. And in San Diego, based on, you know, some pushes from California, basically has updated to, you know, an electronic system from beginning to end. We have an electronic poll book. We have an electronic system, the ballot marking device is electronic. It produces a paper ballot, but it is an electronic system that you're voting on. It's an electronic system that produces a paper ballot, right? And then all of that communicates through a single point of failure, which is a cradle point router, right? That provides an encrypted communication channel back to the registrar of voters. And I, being the type of person, I started asking, you know, it's not really a business, but business continuity questions, right? Because, you know, a business, the big problem is if you're down, the customer might go somewhere else, right? That's not really a choice in an election, right? If the business is down, you get disenfranchisement of voters, which is the number one thing you don't want. So I was very pleased to see that they had included that, both for the easy answer for the if a site is down, is the nearest site is 2 miles that way, right? We are dead. We have a, if they don't want to do that, we have a backup plan for that. But the nearest site is 2 miles that way, and that's not a big deal. And that's something that I don't think an average business might not have that in its tool chest. But we do have emergency ballots. We have a big stack of emergency ballots, and this is in the case of catastrophic system-wide. The registrar of voters goes down. We get attacked by a ransomware attack on one of the election days. We actually have up to 11 days of in-person voting. And we have paper ballots. So just like those doctors, we can go back to pen and paper. It is a giant pain in the ass because you actually have to write. They're not pre-printed ballots like the old days with the names of the candidates. You actually have to write the name of the candidate that you want, and then check the, check the box.
But there's a mechanism for people to continue.
There is a mechanism, right? And what matters for us, what matters for those businesses, is it fits in. This is why I brought it up. Is that it fits into the purpose of that organization, right? And what, like, if the systems go down in a hospital, for the most part, most patients are not going to immediately die, right? Some patients might, right? There are systems that must be highly available in a hospital, right? And those systems, I'm guessing, have redundancy after redundancy after redundancy, because you can't, like, a ventilator or a what do they call it, when they talk about pulling the plug, whatever that
ventilator
is called.
Yeah.
No, not just a ventilator, but, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. But clearly, I am not a doctor, and please don't take any medical advice from me. That's another thing is also that you can have multiple SLAs within your business, right? For different applications. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. So, When I describe what a service level objective is to the business leaders, I describe various cases of business continuity. And, you know, if it's just a simple, I need a file restored, for example, that would have potentially a 5-minute SLA. If I need to restore an entire virtual machine, that could be a 30-minute SLA. If I have to restore an entire data center, we're looking at multiple day SLA. If that is not sufficient for the business leader, it's like, well, in order to achieve this, we're going to have to create a new system that can get there. And that's when I start designing out the IT infrastructure to meet their objectives.
Yeah. And typically that probably comes what they cost, though, right?
Exactly. But if they desire it,
yep,
I'm giving them the cost to achieve it, and then they can back off on it.
Yeah.
If I just point blank ask them the question, so what's your RTO and RPO? If they understand what that acronym is, immediately they're going to come back and say 00.
Zero,
zero. Exactly. They're
say that a lot. Yep.
It's like, well, in order to achieve that, I'm going to need to sell you and construct this new highly available solution. It's, you know, $1.x billion, and my sales person is going to be extremely happy, and they're going to come back, I don't have $1 billion to spend. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about what you can do. And as Curtis was mentioning earlier, different applications within the infrastructure will have a different SLA, therefore tiered approach on recovery.
Right.
And you could create a highly available solution for 1% of your applications for much less than, you know, a zero RTO RPO for 100% of your applications.
Yeah. So we can get you that RPO and RTO of zero for just that one application for $200,000 instead of $1 billion. And they're like, sold.
Exactly. along with that one application, it's dependencies that come along with it and understanding what they are so that they get recovered in the same point. I actually had one customer that was leveraging a particular backup set, and they were recovering into a recovery data center. I don't want to get into specifics about the vendors to be disparaging of any of them. The customer had valid backup sets. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were 100% valid backups. Their plan to test with is we're going to sever communications from production.
Oh.
And we are going to recover just from that backup set into the bare metal servers that this provider was providing up. They couldn't authenticate to their backup set because the Active Directory was not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the same problem that we had with it, with this guy that recovered after a hurricane. They had to authenticate back to the mainland, cause they were on an island and they couldn't get there. But let me ask you a question. So what the failure there to me would be in the system, the initial system design, right? A backup system needs to be, a DR system needs to be kind of self-sustaining, right?
It should. And as I talk through the scenario with my customers about how to test it, developing a test plan, I go through, well, how's it going to authenticate? Well, Active Directory is how we authenticate. Okay, great. So do you have a synchronous copy of your Active Directory at the DR site? And it's like, we need that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we need that. And, you know, one of the things that comes up frequently is certificate authorities. You know, how do we make sure that our certificate authorities are valid at the DR site? And how do we recover that if we lose our certificate chain? Yeah. Because now you get invalid SSL certificates, as an example, when you're trying to authenticate. So I go through how that functions and how to protect that and how to restore that.
But here's the question is, who are the right folks to talk to in this case? Because if you talk, like going back to the Cerner example, right? If you talk to the Cerner developer, right, they would know, okay, for Cerner, the application, here are the components that are required. If you talk to the IT admin, they may not know everything for Cerner, but they may know, okay, here's the things I need for SSL certificate authorities and for Active Directory. Do you just basically get both those folks in a room and be like, hey, let's walk through what this looks like end to end and what are all the app dependencies, or do you basically try to connect the pieces together?
Many times Presidio as a whole will have multiple conversations, and sometimes where we're getting conflicting information, we will bring both teams into the room. That happens quite a bit with my ransomware workshop, where security is saying one thing, the network engineers are saying another thing, and the backup data center engineers are saying a completely different thing, and they're not in alignment. So with my ransomware workshop that Presidio has, free to our customers, by the way, we sit in the room, typically with a C-level who's just there to listen and provide input where he or she needs that input. But it's like, so how are you detecting ransomware? How are you able to recover from ransomware? And it really brings more of a camaraderie, because many times these IT organizations are siloed and they're not talking. We help to develop that conversation.
Yeah, that siloed business, you know, the departmental silos is definitely a huge problem. I'm gonna preface my following statement with to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When I was hearing your all of the problems that you have with authenticating all of that and bringing things up in a DR environment, my immediate thought was, well, we wouldn't have that problem, right? you know, having a cloud service, I think this is one of those things I think that makes a strong argument for a cloud service and against an on-prem system. It's not that you can't do it, right? It's not that an on-prem system can't do it. It's that you will have challenges that you wouldn't have otherwise.
I would challenge you on that though, Curtis.
What's that? Go ahead. That challenge away.
That just given how the technology works at the company you work at, right? If you are using some components like the on-premises Active Directory component used for authentication, you as a company would have to be aware of that and make sure that gets replicated.
You could create problems.
Yes, you could create problems. Yes, that is
correct. You could create problems. Well, but again, I'm back to the same thing as, well, first off, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't authenticate your backup system to Active Directory. Done. Don't do it. Okay?
I concur.
So yes. If you do that, in my opinion, really dumb thing, yes, you could bring an on-prem problem into the cloud.
Yeah.
Right. I actually don't want to step further on that. And not only the backup infrastructure should be in its own authentication domain, but the entire IT infrastructure should be in a separate authentication domain from the user domain. One way, trusted, but not in the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to do like the football guys. Goal!
Yeah, I've had conversations where it's like, we just finished consolidating all of our Active Directories down into one forest, and I'm telling them to break it up again.
Right, right. I mean, it sounds great until you start to think about cybersecurity, right? And when you think about, especially, and again, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm picking on, but especially if you are running a Windows-based backup system, right? You know, your Active Directory gets hacked, this gets compromised, and then boom, they just slide right on over into the backup server and then do bad, bad things, right? So you're right. You're right, Persona. We could bring on-prem problems into the cloud.
Yeah. But that's why you should be aware of what you're bringing, because if you had just gone and replaced your backup product, right, you might still have had the same issue. So I think it's like what Eric said. Think about the entire application, the dependencies, everything else, right? Because you might fix one problem, but you might still have exposure in another area.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to someone. And the thing is, for those of you listening at home, we actually have no idea how long we're running today because we've had technical problems with our recording system that has broken this up into three separate recordings. It's been a lot of fun. But I'm gonna sort of round us out here because I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of our usual recording time. And damn it, I was going somewhere. What were we talking about?
I was just saying, like, don't look at everything holistically. Like, don't just look at one component and replace it because you might still have exposure and gaps in the other parts.
I got it. Okay. And I'm gonna say, find the Eric at your vendor. Right. You know, we could pick on sales guys all day long. Right. But the reality is their goal is to sell product. And the Eric at your company, the vendor that you're working, make sure, you know, you can't dismiss either side. You need the techie side and you need the business side. And Eric is, you're not unique, Eric, but you're definitely you're an endangered species, people that can talk both the business side and the technical side.
I was going to say hot commodity, but
hot commodity. that's what do you call it? Better than endangered species. So talk to the Eric at your company. Do you have any final thoughts for us, Eric, here?
So if you're interested in my company, you can find out more about us at Presidio.com. We've got a great website that tells you everything about us. We also have a podcast that you can listen to called The Digital Decode that gets into more about what Presidio can offer in terms of our products and solutions.
All right. Sounds good. And Persona, have you had a good time today with all our technical fun?
It has been interesting, and I'm really curious why it's been behaving the way it's been behaving, but yes, other than that, it's been fun. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah.
All right.
And we hope that you enjoyed this episode. I just want you to know, this one was really hard. If that matters to you, be sure to subscribe so that you can restore it all.